Hello, I'm Alice Arnold, and in this week's Musicals and Theatre podcast, I'm chatting to Michael Ball and Alfie Beau backstage at the Hammersmith Apollo about their new album and much more besides. And if you enjoy listening, then do tune in on Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 till 10 when you can hear me on Mellow Magic. Right, well, here I am. This is unbelievable. I'm backstage at the Hammersmith Apollo with Michael Ball and Alfie Beau. Now, you have embarked on this tour and made this album, and this has just been the most humongous hit. Why? Do you know why?
I have absolutely no idea, because we're not doing anything. I don't know. I guess it's what the nation has been waiting for. I don't know. I guess because we're having fun.
We are,
and we like good music, and I think we've recorded some good music, and we sing good music on stage.
We've just ticked the box on what people want to hear as well. Yeah. You know, from us. You know, we play to our strengths when we were creating the album and coming up with the track listing. So we thought, let's just do what we're good at.
Well, I wanted to ask you that, because the track list, we've got songs from Phantom, West Side Story, Les Mis, Carousel. I mean, it's the most beautiful collection of songs. So who chose what?
Well, we all had our lists.
Yes.
You know, we all had our lists, and I think, you know, we all have a fair amount of it, of our own choices.
Yeah.
On the album.
What happened, it was interesting, because not just us, but friends, family, people at record companies, management, so would all have big long lists, and then they would get circulated and things would whitter down. But all the same songs kept appearing on the same lists. And a few things that were kind of surprising that we weren't expecting that people would go for. Thousand Years being one of them, which we were so chuffed with the way that turned out. I didn't want to do You Never Walk Alone, because I've recorded it before, Alice recorded it before, and I didn't quite understand why we should record it again. And then Alf said, because he's a lifelong Liverpool supporter, said, well, I want to do it because the Hillsborough Inquiry has just announced. And I think we should do it as a mark of respect. And he came with this brilliant idea of having the cop choir.
But if Michael didn't want to do that one, I wasn't a fan of Music of the Night. I didn't want to do that one again, because, again, that's a song that's been done to death. It's been we both recorded it, and it seemed to me overdone, you know. But if we were going to make an album of musical theatre tracks, I think it was important to give a nod to Andrew, you know, for that.
And also, by having the two voices, we can do harmonies in there that no one will have heard in those songs.
Which we did with You'll Never Walk Alone as well.
So they both are, you know, recreations, and they're not carbon copies of anybody's song. They're ours. Mm.
Same for Anthem.
Yeah,
you know, that
from
wasn't
Chess.
A song that I thought of singing at all. But when we got our heads together and worked out the harmonies, worked out each individual role in the song, it sounded like a completely different approach, you know, a completely different song.
And what would you say has been your favourite moment of the tour so far?
For me, there's a couple of moments in the tour that are memorable. One in particular is singing You'll Never Walk Alone in Liverpool, and, you know, putting up the image of the Liverpool symbol, you know, the Liverpool Football Club symbol with 96 next to it. And then also another moment in the tour was singing You'll Never Walk Alone again, but in Leeds. You know, we walked out onto that stage and everybody, 8,000 people in the arena with their mobile phones on, with the light, with the torchlight on, and it was just magical to see the glow from the audience coming on stage. It was like a delivery of the love that they had for us. It was really beautiful.
Oh, brilliant.
For me, it was singing a bum note during the Bond medley and making him laugh, so he then had to sing Thunderball with that big note at the end, trying not to wet himself.
Excellent. Always good. Now, you're on stage in about 4 hours' time, I think, and I want to know who is leading the vocal warm-up, please.
He doesn't.
I don't really do one.
No, I always thought lifting a cup of coffee to my lips was probably
That's
a good
it.
Physical one.
And also lubrication. You know, it's all part of it. Normally just shouting at Alfie
Why
is my...
Why do kick, though? I mean, before a show, it's like...
May God forgive you. This man, I swear to God, Alice, this man eats about 7 full dinners every day. He's constantly eating, and I'm putting the weight on.
He's eating for you?
Yeah.
It's like you're his child.
I'm carrying water for a friend.
Right, so we're not bothering with a vocal warm-up, so that's fine. We'll just
he does.
More serious about it. You do what do you do with scales and arpeggios and all of that?
When you tried to teach me. Gow, gow, gow.
It worked. That's an exercise that sort of works on the edge of the voice, and it makes it really bright and high, and Michael can't do it, and that's why I do it all the time,
constantly.
We're just going to go back a little bit. Okay. Into your past. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. Tell me a little bit about this Kismet production, because this sounds cracking. And I know everyone's asking, but we've all been in a turkey. So just...
Yeah, but this was shocking. First of all, I was told when I said I'd do it, because I knew the music. I didn't know the book. I read the book and it wasn't great. Do you remember that? And they told me that the writer had passed away. And dear Kit Hesketh Harvey was going to be rewriting the book. The writer wasn't dead. He was 93, living in LA with one of the original Playboy bunny girls, and he was coming over and he wasn't having a word of it changed. Of course, it's set in Baghdad. And at that time, 10 years ago, Baghdad was also in the news. And so the director, brilliantly, don't you think, Alf, decided that he would open the show with the overture.
It's groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking. Overture of Kismet, and then the sound of gunfire and explosions, and Alf coming on in his army fatigues going, it's hell out there.
And the machine gun and everything, you know.
And the wazir going, yes, the history of Baghdad is one of turmoil. Come back 1,000 years.
And let's all sing a song.
At which point the audience, their jaws were on the floor, and it just got worse.
It was awful.
It was hilarious. We laughed a lot. Tell him what I did to you.
Oh, my goodness. We're singing this beautiful, beautiful love duet. What's it called?
This is my beloved.
This is my beloved. And, and we're, oh, my goodness. I'm stood there singing to the soprano. And I look over into the wings, really tender moment in the song. And Michael Ball... He stood there, hoisted up his caftan, showing his backside to me. You know, both big things.
Beautiful. Pert
peaches
buttocks.
In the wings, taking up a full entrance stage. Nobody could get past, you know, because his bottom was right there.
You've never sung better.
Oh, my goodness.
Never sung better. We had to keep the mood
light.
Blacked
out a few lights. You know, there's a big shadow cast across stage.
All right. Sorry. All right. It was pert and peachy. You know that. It was the only way to get through. And that's
stranger
why we became...
Paradise,
that's why. That's Stranger in Paradise. Yeah. This is how we became mates, because we were in this extraordinarily bad production. And you either crumble or you go, look... Let's keep the company together. We've got to do this. We were sold out those nights, so we thought, let's just make the most of it.
There is nothing worse, is that you've got to go on. Got to go on, and you know you're in a turkey, and you've just got to try and brazen it out.
It's all of that.
It's awful. Right, if you had a night off, ever, and you wanted to go to the theatre, who would you least like to take with you?
Least like? Mm. Oh.
My goodness, that's difficult.
Forgive me, Trevor Nunn. He'd talk all the way through it, and he'd tell me what was wrong. In fact, I have been with him. We went to see a production of Meet Me in St. Louis, and he made us leave at the interval. I was quite enjoying myself. He said, no, we can't stay for this, and we had to leave. So I'm sorry, Trevor.
Brilliant. The other thing I do in my programme is I make a cake every week.
Oh, wow.
Bear in mind, this is radio.
Okay.
So if you were to be presented with a cake, what sort of cake would you most like that cake to be?
I'm a traditional Vicky Sponge kind of guy. I like in fact, I made one for the it was a good cake,
that
wasn't
was
it?
Really good.
I was bored one afternoon in catering, so I just whipped up a Victoria Sponge. Yeah. Very traditional, Raspberries more than strawberries, cream, bit of lemon zest in the and vanilla in the cake and in the cream. That would do me grand.
Chocolate cake all the way with like a salted caramel filling in the middle. Yours. That's what I would have, and it has.
Could you make it?
I could try. I'd have a, I'd do it, but it'd have to be at least a foot and a half in size.
Now, you both performed at Strictly, didn't you? Do you want to do? Would you like to do it? I mean,
we were talking about this earlier on. I would. I'd do it. I'd have a go, just for the challenge. I think Michael should do it too. I think we should do it together.
We'd argue who'd lead.
No, be contestants in the same series.
You're not competitive at all. And neither am I. It would be kill each other.
You should see him dance. He's useless.
Are you? Are you not? Are you not a natural?
I am a natural mover. I invented a heart condition at drama school, so I didn't have to get up early and do dance class, and I regret it.
He does a shimmy on stage. It's fantastic to see.
A proper shimmy.
The house down. Everybody's laughing like crazy.
Well, the good thing is it hasn't stopped you, you know, progressing in the musical theatre world, has it?
Exactly. And there was a lot of step ball changes in Sweeney Todd. I would love it. It's my favourite programme. I absolutely love the programme. But I'm too competitive. And also people would assume...
The whole thing about
I know
it,
that,
though.
But people would assume I could dance because I do musicals and I can't. And I wouldn't be good enough. And so if they could
you'd bid the training.
All right.
You'd do it. It'd be good.
No, I'd love to.
Any other reality shows? Jungle? Would you go in the jungle?
Put him in the jungle.
I'd do the jungle. Yeah, I'd eat anything. I'd
He really would. And a lot of it.
I'd ask for seconds.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. Oh, is there any more of those fish eyeballs? They were nice.
I like them.
Now, Michael, one of your first roles after you were busking after drama school was in Godspell.
My first role.
That was one of mine too. Not the same role, I'm guessing. Were you Jesus?
No, I was John the Baptist. I had the best role. I opened...
Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
The way of the Lord. Do you see? And it was genuinely when I understood the power of music over an audience and the connection you can have as an artist, because I started it off stage, these big gates opened and then walked out. It was magical, absolutely magical. And it got me my Equity card. I love that program, that show, absolutely.
Yeah, I love it too. The book is
tricky. It's dreadful.
Tricky to lift it off the page.
Yeah. But who gives a damn? It's beautiful music and it's a great company musical. Yeah. You know, everyone gets a moment. It's a real ensemble piece. Lovely.
What was your very first musical role then?
Musical role. Oh my goodness! I think it was Tony in West Side Story when I was 19 years old. It was in an amateur production, but I loved it. I loved playing that role, and it was a lot of fun. It was my first sort of introduction to musical theatre. And then I was directed into opera. Strangely enough, it just seemed to be where my voice was more suited, you know. But I still love musical theatre. I still love doing it whenever I could, you know, being a part of it. So the next time I really played a serious theatre role, a music theatre role, was when I played Jean Valjean at the 25th anniversary. That was it. Yeah.
What do you call Gilbert and Sullivan? Is that operetta?
Operetta. But
how do you define? Because I always wonder what the first musicals were. Were they? Is that the American Showboat or Gilbert and Sullivan musicals?
I think when you go back in over the years, man, La Bohème, Puccini's La Bohème was classed as a musical theatre piece. It was reviewed as the worst musical theatre piece ever written, and that was Puccini's La Bohème. And so.
Isn't that interesting? Because Les Mis was reviewed as the worst piece of musical of its time.
I don't think you can categorise opera, operetta, musical theatre. It's all one world, because it's music in a theatre, and you're performing
telling a story.
Telling a story.
Yeah,
it's, you know, that's it.
Yeah, and some have a book, and some don't have a book. Have you ever fallen in love with the person that you've been singing a love duet with?
Have you? Well, I'm not.
I'm looking at you with doe eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
I know you're a married man.
I am. But I haven't.
I love you,
Alfie. No.
Actresses are nightmares.
They really are. Your scene partner, my goodness, I have an issue every time I work opposite somebody.
Do you?
Yeah, there's always something that's irritating about them. I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure I'm irritating to them as well, but when you're working so close together, you have ideas and you throw them into the mix and you think that it's all going to go your way, but it's not. You have to really
compromise
and yeah, not a big compromise.
Not a word that falls from his lips easily. I, on the other hand, get on with everybody and they all fall in love with me.
I'm not painting a good picture of myself, but no.
Leave me do that.
I know, exactly.
If you can be a musical character, not play the musical character, but be the musical character, who would you pick?
Oh, I'd be the genie in Aladdin. Because then I could be everything and all things. Yeah, you beat that.
Probably be the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, because I wouldn't really have to change my personality.
And his wife, Sarah, is so gorgeous, and she is the image of Belle.
She is.
In Beauty and the Beast. She's absolutely the image. She's just waiting to give him the kiss that will actually change him.
She does belt me a lot, which is good. Cheer up. I just like to keep my feet on the ground and not get too excited.
Yes, but there's no need to bury them 6 feet under.
I just, you know, just don't want to get too excited yet. Just keep everything real.
That's why I love him.
He tires me out. So it's like, I've got...
Now, listen, all this has done so amazingly well, the record, the tour and everything. There must be plans to do more of this, surely.
He's begging, and I'm just saying, Alf, you know, enough, mate. Of course there is. We've had, genuinely, the best time doing this, and it all happened very naturally. This wasn't a big game plan. It started off as a couple of concerts that turned into a tour, that turned into a record, to a TV special, and most importantly, I hope I'm speaking for you, I'm having the best time on stage doing it, and I'm seeing audiences. This is why we do it. We do it because audiences want to come and want to be part of it.
Every night has been so special on tour. It's difficult to, you know, it's very rare when you get a tour like that. But no, it's a joy to be on stage. It's a joy to share the stage with Michael. And like Michael says, I'm having a ball as well.
So yeah, the answer is I think we'll be looking to do more together.
Yeah,
and nice as well that we can go off and do our own separate stuff as well.
Well, we will all be looking forward to it. Thank you both so much. I'm Alice Arnold, and that was the Musicals and Theatre Podcast. If you enjoyed that, then you can hear me every Saturday and Sunday morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic, where I've lots of lovely, timeless, relaxing classics, musical numbers and interviews.